Welcome to Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories. I'm your host, Rachel Ash. Upon my debut into the dating world, I thought everyone had the same concept of what normal, decent, and acceptable was. It took the first unsolicited dick pic to bitch slap me back into reality, and holy shit! From that point on, I knew it was time to buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, because I was in the motherfucking wild, wild west. If you enjoy this episode today, feel free to send it to a friend in need. If you are listening on Apple, take a moment to write a review. I truly appreciate all of you. You all help keep this podcast alive. If you have any questions or your own fucked up story to share, feel free to slide into my DMs at datingpodcast. To help us grow, click on the support the show link in the description of this episode. By supporting us, you help us expand our content and upgrade the show. Get early access to episodes and exclusive perks. Subscribe now on Patreon. This is how the game is going to go. To keep the identities of the dates anonymous, they have been given appropriate, albeit amusing names. Boys, you only get a name under certain circumstances. Here we go. 1. You fucked up. That's pretty self-explanatory. 2. Either you were weird or the date was just unforgettably fucked up, or a combination of everything. 3. I liked you. But you ran, so now you get a story. It's possible, but extremely rare, for a date to make it to this podcast without meeting this criteria. However, there is always that one-off chance a date exceeds expectations and is spectacular. There are exceptions.
Beta boy. How to describe beta boy? This is actually an ordinary date. There's nothing too crazy about this one. It's very vanilla with a little bit of chocolate. You'll see why. And here we go. Here's some insight 3 years later. Danger lies in the unknown, in looking back and doubting the choices you have made. But maybe you wouldn't be this strong person you are today had you not gone down those difficult roads. Beta boy is a guy who wants to be a man. In fact, he thinks he actually is a man. And if you're not careful, he might even trick you into believing it too. What is a beta male? According to Google, it is a man tending to assume a passive or subservient role in social or professional situations. This was exactly who beta boy was. Yet, something I would not see until several dates in. Let's begin. I had only been back from Birthright for a couple of weeks. Birthright was my own personal eat, pray, love moment. And for those of you who have never heard of Birthright, it's a Heritage-sponsored trip to Israel. And it was truly life-changing for me. January 2020. Right before my trip to Israel, my husband and I decided to separate. For months, our relationship had been rocky. We needed a break from all of it, so we decided to separate and see other people. For 17 years, we were all that each other knew. High school sweethearts. We had never dated anyone else, and this was our chance to explore and be free. To allow each other the space to determine whether or not to stay married. This was the tumultuous time of my life. Yet, at the same time, my awakening. Now back from my Julia Roberts experience, I was ready to hit the dating world running. It was late February 2020. There was no shutdown. The world was business as usual. Let me preface this by saying this was a phase of online dating when I had no idea what I was looking for or what I was even attracted to. Friends trying to play matchmaker would even ask what my type was, and I honestly had no idea. I felt like a little girl coming of age, and I was about to hit puberty. Dating puberty, that is. 3 years ago, I was in a fog. I was a dating novice. I was a virgin to the world of dating. The only man I knew was my husband. And I thought I knew so much about life, but I didn't know anything about men. Dating in college, most learn how to interact with the other sex. Sure, I experienced college. In fact, at the time, I went to the number one party school in the country, Go Gators. But I didn't have the experience other fellow students had. My time wouldn't come until age 32. Early on, I would talk to any guy who messaged me on the apps. I wasn't jaded yet. And I was putting time into these texts, thinking about the wittiest reply and being overly attentive. I was giving it all I had. It was my full-time job. Double, triple texting sometimes to guys. I do tend to be descriptive. It was my natural way of texting. Would I text a guy like that now? Never. He's lucky to get more than a heart back from me nowadays. And dating for 3 years has made me hard. That's the only way. You have to protect your light. Bumble. We met on Bumble. This guy was very thin, pale, and nerdy. He wore emo glasses and had alternative rock artists listed under his Spotify choices. All right, not bad, not bad. He was upfront about the major corporate company he worked at. Honestly, he seemed harmless from his profile. Not particularly hot, but not someone who was creepy. He seemed like a run-of-the-mill type of guy. Besides, I was talking to a bunch of different men. I decided to give him a chance based on the company he worked at. It was a company I knew very well. I had interviewed there 3 times, actually. And one of the more recent times, it was for a dog apparel design role. And I knew if he made it through the grueling interview process at that company, then he must be qualified to date me. I mean, he would have to be incredibly intelligent to work there. That company is very selective. So yes, I picked him because of the company he worked at. And no, this does not qualify me for gold digger designation, because I could care less what this guy pulls in for salary. At this time, I was just looking to have a good time on a date. I make my own money. I used it merely as an insight into his level of ambition and work ethic. He set our first date for Gulfstream Brewing. I thought I knew every brewery in Fort Lauderdale. Apparently, I was mistaken. This Long Island transport had knocked me off my game. March 10th, 2020. Our first date. We started with beers. Of course, we were at a brewery. The first beer quickly led to a second, and then we shared a delicious pizza. Things seemed to be going surprisingly well. Perhaps I went into this date with a preconceived idea of who this man would be based solely on his physical appearance. I was pleasantly surprised by how many details we seemed to connect on. Music, travel, food, cultural heritage, ambition, New York. And we had a similar sense of humor. What was the most shocking was the fact that we shared the same exact birthday. Except I beat him to the day years earlier. I do like them younger. Only the young ones can keep up with me. Although, you wouldn't even know we weren't the same age. Some would even think I was the younger one. What can I say? I take care of myself. Age is relative. Maturity is where it counts. He may have been younger, but he was much older than me in many other ways. The night was young. It was a Tuesday. It was going up on a Tuesday. We were having such a great time that we decided to hop to another brewery, American Icon. The beer was not nearly as good as Gulfstream Brewing, but we had the best time despite the subpar beer. We were laughing and having a great time. He seemed excited by me. It flattered me how he was so drawn to me. It was infectious. As he went to pay the bill, he asked if I had ever been to Batch. Smiling, I said, no. What? They are the best cookies I have ever had in my life. Really? Even better than Levon's in New York City? Rachel, you have to try them. I don't know. I highly doubt they are better. I was playing with him. Then you could suddenly see his face light up. He had an idea. We're going. You have to try their cookies. They are the best cookies, he said. He made it his personal mission to take me to Batch, which is known as Blueprint Cookies today. He wanted to share this with me. It was a love language for him. Food. And not just any food. Amazing food. He was a foodie, and that was something our two souls connected on. When we got to Batch, we ordered two cookies, a classic chocolate chip cookie and a s'mores cookie. The s'mores was my pick. I can never turn down that gooey marshmallow chocolate combo. It's my favorite. They warmed up the cookies and handed them back to us. I pulled out my s'mores cookie and looked at him. He looked back, waiting anxiously for me to take a bite. Let's see, I said suspiciously. Slowly, I took a bite and savored the cookie. Okay, you might be right, I said as I licked the chocolate off my fingers. See, told you, he said back. Then I took his chocolate chip cookie from his hand and took a bite. I like yours better, I said and traded him. Mine now. I said devilishly. Just kidding. Here. And I handed him back his cookie. We finished our cookies and went for a walk around Flagler Village. It was late at this point. 10, maybe 11 p.m. at night. I didn't know this area of downtown Fort Lauderdale. Even though I had grown up in South Florida, this area was foreign to me. The majority of my life was in West Broward, about 30 minutes west from the ocean. It was dark. The streets were dimly lit. There was no one around. No one to hear you scream. A perfect setting for a murder. Just kidding. Wrong story. That story comes later. No, really, it does. There we were, walking down the road. It was dark, but I wasn't afraid because I was there with him, and he made me feel comfortable and protected. As we began to cross over the railroad tracks, he turned to look at me. He paused, and then he pulled me in close and kissed me softly, sweetly. It was unexpected, spontaneous. After a few seconds, he pulled away and said, "You taste like chocolate." We laughed, and he hugged me. As we hugged, I looked away and towards the end of the street. All I could think of was him, the philosopher. We had met online the week prior. Although we hadn't met in person, I felt this uncanny loyalty to him. Kissing this guy at this moment felt wrong. because I felt like the philosopher and I had already had this strong connection over texting. Our first date, the philosopher and I, wouldn't be until Saturday. And he was out of town on business in Charm City, Baltimore. Even being on this date felt like a form of betrayal, which is incredible because we weren't even in a relationship. I hadn't even met him in person. I can't explain it the way I felt, but it was genuine. To be honest, I didn't enter into the first date with Beta Boy as an actual date. I'll admit, I went into it as a networking opportunity. Maybe he could help me get in front of the right people at his company. I mean, I had interviewed there several times. I thought having someone on the inside could help my efforts. It turned out that I even knew his boss. He had interviewed me weeks prior. I had zero expectations that I would even like Beta Boy. And going into it, I thought the best scenario was that we could be friends. As sweet as this guy was, I didn't feel for him what I felt for the philosopher. As Beta Boy held me in his arms in the middle of the railroad tracks on that night on a Tuesday in March, all my heart yearned for was to be in the arms of another. I was at a crossroads, physically and metaphorically. It turns out that that very moment was the crossroad from my old life into my new life. Beta Boy walked me to the car and made plans immediately to see me again for Friday, March 13th. The plan was to meet at Glitch Bar and take it from there. At this point, Beta Boy hadn't earned his name just yet. To be continued. There you have it. Until next story, this is Rachel Ash signing off.